Thank you, Brother Gall. I believe John R. Rice wrote that. Am I correct? Yes. Bible compares winning souls to the harvest. And that's our job. Our harvest time is after we get saved while we're still alive to reach others. That's what it's about. I want you to go to the book of Revelation chapter 6 this morning. Revelation chapter 6. Familiar verses, and of course we can't get into the book too deep, but I want to take a portion out of Revelation chapter 6. I want to speak on the subject, it's time to face it. Terminology of words that we use today, and for instance, sometimes we say, well, just face it, or I don't want to face it. Most of us are pretty good about putting it off if we can without facing it, right? Sometimes we don't admit the truth. I heard about the husband and wife was shopping and came outside. This dates me now. I'm going to see if anybody out here knows this. The scales was right outside the door. And they used to be where when you got on them, they gave you a little note. Anybody remember that? Raise your hand. 3, 4, 5. Anyway, way back, right after the dinosaurs got killed. Anyway, this lady stepped on the scale, and her face expression said to her husband she didn't like the card she was looking at. He said, what's the matter? Said, a little too much weight? She said, no, but according to this card, I'm supposed to be 6 inches taller. Now, some of you get that. Some of you get that. Revelation chapter 6, look at it with me. We're going to read just a few verses, starting in verse 12. Revelation chapter 6, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell under the earth, even as a fig casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now, this crowd at this time, a little bit future, maybe not so far, wants to hide from the face of God. Did you ever want to hide from somebody's face? How about Dad at supper time when Mama said she was going to tell on you that day? Anybody remember that? Oh, I know I'm talking to a bunch of perfect people. That never happened, but do you know we're all two-faced? Yes, we are. I preached a sermon, I don't know, a long time ago, and I said we're all two-faced. There's the face that people see of you in private, and there's face that people see of you in public. Amen, whether you say so or not, it's true. Amen. Some of you ladies, did you ever say, I can't leave yet, I got to put on my face? All right, I could have fun with that, but I'm not. But our face does communicate. Yes, it does. I've seen some preachers preach a great sermon with their tongue, and at the same time, another great sermon with their facial expressions. Johnny Pope's one of them. Anybody remember Johnny? Yeah, he's one of them. I about as soon see the one he preaches with his face as hear the one he preaches with his words. That's a great talent, no doubt about it. But our face communicates good and bad. Somebody said that Abraham Lincoln was having a cabinet meeting with his staff, and they were trying to figure out a guy that would fill a certain position, and somebody mentioned a name. And the president said, no, I don't like his face. And one of his men spoke and said, well, what do you mean? Can you tell his values by his face? He said, well, up till a man's up in his 30s, maybe his 40s, he's got one face, but after that he's earned another face, and sometime that face tells on him. Wow. Now, Abe didn't have such a beautiful face himself, but I understand what he's saying. The scars of time and events and emotions and troubles and good or bad sometime is written on this old map up here. It does put some identification on us. I've known a few men, I've known some that lived a rough, bad life, and it was the face showed it, and I've seen those same men come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was like they took a youth pill. Amen. Things began to clear up. Amazing. Amazing. Well, that's what the Bible says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And yes, I do believe when you get saved and God and His Spirit lives inside of you, it's going to reflect on your map a little bit. Some folks are going to know there's a difference. Listen, you can communicate with your face. I want you to go with me, and I'm not going to wait on you long. Luke chapter 9, I'm going to show you the Lord Jesus even communicated with His face. In Luke chapter 9, you pick it up at about verse 51, and the Lord Jesus is traveling a little bit here, walking with His disciples, and it says in verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem. Now, I'm going to tell the rest of it. He comes through one of the villages of Samaria, and the Samaritans don't receive Him, don't prepare for Him. And they give as their excuse this, that His face was set as though He was going to Jerusalem. They were saying He's not going to be here long. There was trouble between the Samaritans and the rest of the Jews. And you go over there today, and some of those nations over there, if you're going to go over there, you better go to one of them first, because if you go to that wrong one first, you can't get into the other one because they look at your passport. You've already been to Israel, you can't get in here, stuff like that. Truth is, the Lord Jesus communicated, I've got my face set. See, some of them tried to talk Him out of going to the cross, remember? But He had His face set. He was saying, this is the reason I came. For this purpose I came, and I'm going. And sometime we'll even talk among ourselves that way, and we'll just say His mind's made up, and he's got His jaw locked. He's going to go. And truth is, we do communicate by the way we look sometimes. Expression on our face. Now, there's a lot of things we've all liked to dodge, there's no doubt. I suspect Peter would have loved to dodge the Lord's face after the rooster crowed, don't you think so? Oh yeah, the Bible says Jesus looked at him after that, looked at him. I think he'd have loved to dodge that. And we're all real good at finding a way to avoid facing something. But here in the text, the day is coming that we're going to face God. And here you got the elite of the earth. You got the crowd of the earth. I mean, it names them off here. I mean, the great men, the bond men, the kings, and the captains. It don't matter who they are. One day, they're going to see God's face for good or bad. Amen? I want to say to you folks in America today especially, we're facing, and we better face, the fact we're into a very big revolution in our country. I'm saying to you, there was a big plan to destroy America, old America as we knew it, America with the old godly values and our freedoms that we've taken for granted. All of those are under attack, and you better quit hiding your face from it. It's real. It's real. It's real. You know, they've just got it now to where that if with the shootings, and listen, there's always been shootings. I don't justify them. They're wrong. But you know, they're reported much more carefully today. And they never do report where a gun saves lives. It's only when it takes lives. That's the only ones they're going to report every time. And our freedoms are under threat. There's no doubt about that. We've got a revolutionary thing going on against the old godly values that America was raised by, and the traditions that we hold dear. We're going to lose them if we don't get our face into this thing and recognize it and defend our freedoms for our kids to have later on. Oh, it's a sad truth. But you know, right now, it's been the news last few weeks. You can, because of the shootings, you can say, all right, my neighbor over here owns some guns. So I pick up the phone and call and bring out the authorities to check him out. He said something a little stupid the other day. Oh, I don't like him. Next thing you know, you've got what the Bible predicts with everybody turning on everybody. Even kids on the parents and so forth. That's predicted in the Word of God. And we're seeing that sort of stuff come in right now. And we got a big movement to dehumanize anybody that's a little bit conservative or got some religious values. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that after they couldn't get Trump for all the Russian stuff, they had to change another attack? So now they're painting him as a racist. Yeah. And a white supremacist. They got to get him on something else. That thing washed out. That Russian thing was a fake, and there we always knew that it was. But the whole thing behind, the worst thing that's made them mad with him is he's messed up their plan to take over America. And so they're trying to dehumanize him, and anybody else that stands for anything that's biblical and godly is what is going on today. Now, just buckle your seatbelt. I may get rougher. I don't know. But the truth is, they actually were saying this week, kill the conservatives. Did you see that? Kill the conservatives. Did you see Google? How many of you use Google? Oh, don't raise your hand. I know you do. Google it. Do you know that's a big platform of social media? Did you see in the news this week where the man tried to put the Ten Commandments straight out of the Bible onto Google and they wouldn't let him do it? So what was the excuse? The excuse they made was, well, those Ten Commandments contained the word kill or murder. But God was telling you not to. Thou shalt not kill. You see, it's the fact it come from God. That's why it couldn't get on there. Now, that's exactly where we're at, folks. We've moved into this thing. But what you got is you got the news mafia today. You got Hollywood telling the rest of us which way we're supposed to go. I'd like to tell them where to go. Bunch of people that never done anything telling the rest of us what's the right thing to do. That's so stupid. What did they ever do? Truthfully. All they did was earn their living off of playing like there was somebody else. How many of you know that John Wayne's name was Marilyn? Now, he's one of the better ones. I understand that and all that. But near his death, somebody asked him about John Wayne. He said, who is that? My name's Marilyn. I liked his attitude, his honesty about the thing. But the truth is, you know, when I was a kid, my girl cousins, they'd go out there and say, let's play house. Let's play like this is something, and let's play like this is a table, and let's play like this is a stove. And I played like, but all the time back in my head, I knew it wasn't true. Didn't you? Right? Well, Hollywood's not true either. It's play-like. So why am I going to go to a bunch of play-likes and ask them for advice? I'm not. I got something that's real. It's called the Word of God. I'm going to stick by what God says. Now, if Jesus said it, that'll be good. That'll be what I go by, not what they say I ought to go by. Amen? The reason for the hate in our country is the election disrupted a big plan. That plan was to bring in a socialistic dictatorship and control our country and get rid of our Constitution. That was the plan. It was already rolling. It wasn't just that the election picked the wrong one to satisfy them. No, no, it disrupted a big plan. I'm gonna just say something's gonna bother some of you. But say I'm so close to unloading my boat and getting out of this water until I could care less. Listen to me. There was a big plan going on to make a dictatorship in America. And if you want to do a little conspiracy thing, go back and see the candidate that lost. See what she wrote her thesis on in college. See if she didn't write it out of Saul Alinsky's communist plan to take over. She did. Now, go a little bit further on that. That was the plan. And had she won in 2016, she would have taken office in 2017. And 2017 was the 100-year anniversary where the communists took over the Russian government. Help yourself. Good job, Mickey. I got that. Now, I want to tell you, somebody threw a monkey wrench in the plans, and that was God. That was God who threw it in. That's God that brought this thing and upset so many. That's why the great hate. That's what it's all about, folks. I'm not going to turn my face from it. I'm going to get up here. I still got the opportunity to get up here and holler, and it goes over the radio, and some of you don't like it, but you keep coming back, and as long as you do, we'll pay the light bill and keep saying it again. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying to you, let's don't turn our face from what reality is and what's happening. Let's don't turn our face as Christians that we need to face up to our shortcomings. I'm not going to name them all, but one of them is we're losing our kids. And that's my fault and your fault, because the devil's culture is outselling us and we're letting it happen. The Bible calls it worldliness. Worldliness. So what does that mean? That means the world wants your kids to train them their way, and they're going to entice them with the things that glitter and the things that aren't real. And we are losing them, folks. We are losing them. Not all of them, thank God. But every time you compromise, there's a cost to that compromise. You will pay it later on. You'll meet it again. You can't have it both ways. Remember in the Bible in the Old Testament, a prophet named Elijah? You remember how God had to tell him when he was having a pity party that I've got 7,000 men that have not bowed their knee to Baal. God has still got some we don't know. He's still got some power we're not thinking about. And you remember Elijah came and had a confrontation out there with a ministerial assassination on Mount Carmel. You remember that? Some of you don't even get that. Waste my time. You got to get these big words when I throw them out. All joking aside, he did have a confrontation with the ministers of Baal. And you remember the people were gathered just like we see in America today. And there's a silent majority in America that needs to face up to some things. Remember what Elijah said? How long halt ye between what? Two opinions. As we raise our kids, we better have one opinion. That's God's opinion, God's book, God's house, God's ways, God's lifestyle. And we better stick by that, because you can't straddle the fence without paying for it later. And if your kids see your Christianity is not real to you, when they get to an age where they don't have to obey you, they'll go their way, and it's not God's way, it's the world's way. Oh, folks, I'm telling you, this is not just preaching. This is the truth. Look around in my church. Look around in other churches. And yes, thank God for all the young people that serve here and are doing right. But what I want to know is, if Jesus don't come, will they still be doing it 10 years from now? When they don't go home and sleep in daddy's house and eat mother's cooking, will they still be true to the Lord? As Christians, we better face up to it. We better face up to it. Compromise always costs. And it's cost the church a lot of power. Do you know the awe and fear of God used to be around the house of God? Yeah. You check your history a little bit. Politicians had to be careful because the church would identify. Now you come to my church, I still do, but boy, we are a rare breed anymore. You know we are. And some of you don't like me for it. And you just go ahead and get over it. It's not hurting me a bit. I'm just simply saying to you, I'm going to face it because I'm going to face God one day, and I'm going to face God as whether or not I told the truth or compromised. Got too many wimpy Christians today. Never give God an opportunity to show his power because they don't trust him themselves. You know what? Mom and Dad, your kids ought to know you believe in prayer. They ought to know that there's some fences God has built around your lives that you won't cross. They need to know some things are real, not just come to church and sing about it, but they're genuinely real. They govern your life. The kids need to see if it's real or not. Sad truth is, too many of them get the other idea. Got a face to go to church with. Let's put on our church face today. Let's don't show our home face too much. Oh, folks, that's where we're in trouble. We're in trouble. We need to face some things. You better face this, that Jesus is coming back. He is. He is. See, he's the only answer. There is no other answer. We can hold off the beast a while, maybe by going and picking the best one we can at the polls, if there's a good one. Sometimes that's doubtful. But we might hold it a while, but the only way to have victory is for Jesus to return and set up his kingdom and do what he said he'd do in the Bible. In the meantime, what are we supposed to do? Occupy till he comes. Do our best. Contend for the faith. If I can't cause anybody else to go the right way, I'm going to go the right way. We can take that attitude. He is coming. I want to tell you this. I already ripped it with some of you, so I'm going to go a little further. There's another Holocaust building. You know what I mean by Holocaust? We go back and think about 6 million Jews. That's the number they give, more or less. I don't know. But Hitler tried to exterminate a race of people. The devil was behind that, and he's still behind that. And it's still going on. I guess it was this week or last week, I saw a little piece where the European Union, you know what I'm talking about? The commercial part of it. I'm talking about the trade part of it. I'm talking about Europe. Have now started putting a mark, an identity, a tag, if you please, on goods that are produced by Israel. Identifying them out separate. Now, wait a minute. What did they do when Hitler was building his Holocaust in the late 30s? They put a yellow band. The Jews had to wear a yellow band on their arm. You remember that? You check that stuff out. We have got anti-Jewish hate going on today, building again. And part of the reason they hate our president so bad is he recognized the Israel and put the embassy in the right place where it should have been. Other presidents didn't have the courage to do. And so there's some real satanic warfare going on, some real hate. And yes, and some other folks are, you heard me say something about this some long time ago. What's going to happen in America? People ask me the question, are we going to have civil war? I don't know that you'd have it without the leadership of the military, but if they start coming into the house to confiscate guns, there's going to be some civil war going on in the dark, under the cover. There's going to be some bloodshed. It's going to happen. And as they more and more continue to build anti-God attitude, you see, a government that wants to be a dictatorship fears the people. They do not want them armed. Hitler took up the guns before he took power. Now you say, is that a political message or is it church? It's church that needs to wake up. It's church that needs to face some things. It's church that has the truth, but has quit standing for it and lost its power. And that's part of the reason our country's in the mess it's in. But we get back to the text. There's a time coming when the sky is going to open up like a scroll. You know why they fear the face of him that sits upon the throne? Because of their guilt. You know why they're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to hide them? Because of their guilt. Judgment is coming. They got to face God and the wrath of the Lamb. That's what the text tells us. You know, Truth is, you can face Jesus today and let him be your Savior. You're going to face him one day as judge if you don't face him now as Savior. He wants to be your Savior. You know, God is, he wants good toward his people. He let his son die for our sins. In Numbers chapter 6, over there, it says, and this is the blessing God told them to bless Israel with. And over there in Numbers 6, it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee and let his face shine upon you. I want to see God's shining face, not his wrathful face, not his judgment face, but his loving face that gave his only begotten son for my sins. That's the one I want to see. You know, there's a lot of benefits to having him as Savior now. We've been talking about the storm and the Bahamas and all the people that's been hurt by it. I don't know about it, but I almost guarantee you, let a few days go by and we'll hear some stories of God's miraculous intervention down there. Because there are a lot of Christian folks down there, a lot of good churches, a lot of good preachers. You're going to hear some testimonies that'll be a blessing. I haven't heard one yet, but I believe we will. When the tornadoes hit out in the Midwest, wherever it was, there was all several states out there. Do you remember in the news how the devastation, and yet over and over, some of the kids that were saved told about the butterfly people showing up? Anybody remember that? It was in the news. The butterfly people were the angels. You say, well, where'd they come from? Did you ever read your Bible about kids having guardian angels? Oh, yeah, take it literal. It's true. Not all of them, maybe, I don't know. But the kids gave testimony, and some of the first responders, some of the rescue people gave the same testimony when they got there. The kids was talking about how the butterfly people had taken care of them. And one rescuer I heard says, and it was a lady, says she believed she saw one herself. You say, could that be? Well, if you believe the Bible, it could be. Sure. And we're going to hear some things like that out of the storms in the Bahamas and other places, no doubt, because God loves us. And he provided for our sins to be paid for. And there's a benefit to knowing Jesus now. He walks with you in the valley as well as on the mountaintop. And he can come in a time of sorrow and of need. And he's a runner to our side. Bless God. I'm glad I know him. I'm glad, as they were singing a while ago about what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, we do. We do. Even in the worst of times, he's very real. I hope you know the Lord is Savior. Because if you're in good times now, bad times may be around the corner waiting for you. You're going to need him sometime. And you're sure going to need him when this crowd's crying for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. Yes, he shows up in our times of need. I think about the little boy in the country, he and his dad, mother, little country home, and I don't remember all the details of the story, but the mother died fairly young, died fairly quickly, whatever the disease was. In that little country setting, and I've been there, and many of you have, little church, little community, they went out on that hillside that afternoon for the final words, and the mother's casket was lowered into the ground, and it was a sad time. Left a husband and young son. And while the crowd was full of sympathy and doing all they could do, like we've all been there, but finally they went home by themselves. Went home to the empty house. Went home where there was no wife and no mother. And of course, they were hurting. And they went to bed. It was dark early and they went to bed. And with the last flicker of the fire and the darkness settled in the bedroom, the little boy in the bed with his dad spoke to his dad and he said this, "Daddy, is your face turned toward me?" the daddy assured him it was. And the little boy didn't say anything else and began to drift off to sleep. And then the daddy, thinking about what the little boy had said, "Daddy, is your face turned toward me?" The daddy said, "I looked up at the ceiling in the darkness and I said, Father, is your face turned toward me?" I want to tell you, his face is turned toward you. He loved you enough to give his only begotten son. His face is turned toward you for good. Will you let him be good to you? He paid for your sins. Will you accept that payment by receiving his son as your Savior? Oh, listen. You're going to face Jesus now or later. Face him now as your Savior. Oh, the benefits that come from that we could not enumerate, but yes, his face is turned to you this morning. I don't know what trouble you're in or hurt or pain or what the doctor said, but I know his face is turned toward you today. Will you turn your face toward him? I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, "Preacher, I'm saved and I know it. Jesus is my Savior." Would you lift that hand? Oh, listen, if it's true, you don't have a problem lifting your hand. You know it. You praise God for it. Thank you. You may put them down. Are you here today and you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me"? I can't say that. I can't say that. I'm not sure he's my Savior. I'd like to pray for you. I won't come to you, embarrass you, but I'd like to have you in mind as I pray. Would you let me do that this morning? Would you lift that hand and say, "Preacher, by this uplifted hand, I'm telling you, I care for my soul, and I wish you'd pray for me." Would you lift that hand? Thank you. Thank you. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, I pray for those that lifted their hands and even those that did not, that should have. I pray you'd bless the invitation. I pray you'd speak to our hearts special. Father, help us not to dodge things, but to face up to your truth, and especially to your love and mercy that gave your Son to die for our sins. Bless the invitation today, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. We invite you to come, leave that seat, and come and say, "I'll turn my face to Jesus. I'll accept him as my Savior today." Will you do it? Will you come as we sing?
Just as I